Good evening. Last January 15th, I went before your senators and representatives in Congress with a comprehensive plan to make our country independent of foreign sources of energy by 1985. Such a program was long overdue. We have become increasingly at the mercy of others for the fuel on which our entire economy runs. Here are the facts and figures that will not go away. The United States is dependent on foreign sources for about 37% of its present petroleum needs. In 10 years, if we do nothing, we will be importing more than half our oil at prices fixed by others, if they choose to sell to us at all. In 2.5 years, we will be twice as vulnerable to a foreign oil embargo as we were 2 winters ago. We are now paying out $25 billion a year for foreign oil. 5 years ago, we paid out only $3 billion annually. 5 years from now, if we do nothing, who knows how many more billions will be flowing out of the United States? These are not just American dollars. These are American jobs. 4 months ago, I sent the Congress this 167-page draft of detailed legislation, plus some additional tax proposals. My program was designed to conserve the energy we now have, while at the same time speeding up the development and production of new domestic energy. Although this would increase the cost of energy until new supplies were fully tapped, those dollars would remain in this country and would be returned to our own economy through tax cuts and rebates. I asked the Congress in January to enact this urgent 10-year program for energy independence within 90 days, that is by mid-April. In the meantime, to get things going, I said I would use the standby presidential authority granted by the Congress to reduce our use of foreign petroleum by raising import fees on each barrel of crude oil by $1 on February 1st, another dollar on March 1st, and a third on April 1st. As soon as Congress acted on my comprehensive energy program, I promised to take off these import fees. I imposed the first dollar on oil imports February 1st, making appropriate exemptions for hardship situations. Now, what did the Congress do in February about energy? Congress did nothing. Nothing, that is, except rush through legislation suspending for 90 days my authority to impose any import fees on foreign oil. Congress needed time, they said. At the end of February, the Democratic leaders of the House and Senate and other members concerned with energy came to the White House. They gave me this pamphlet outlining energy goals similar to mine and promised to come up with a congressional energy program better than mine by the end of April. I remember one of them saying he didn't see how they could ask the president to do more than postpone the second dollar for 60 days. If the Congress couldn't come up with an energy program by then, he said, go ahead and put it on. their request stretched my original deadline by a couple of weeks. But I wanted to be reasonable, I wanted to be cooperative. So in vetoing their bill to restrict the president's authority, I agreed to their request for a 60-day delay before taking the next step under my energy plan. What did the Congress do in March? What did the Congress do in April about energy? Congress did nothing. In fairness, I must say there were diligent efforts by some members, Democrats as well as Republicans, to fashion meaningful energy legislation in their subcommittees and committees. My administration worked very hard with them to bring a real energy independence bill to a vote. At the end of April, the deadline set by the congressional leaders themselves, I deferred for still another 30 days the second $1 fee on imported oil. Even then, I still hope for positive congressional action. So, what has the Congress done in May about energy? Congress did nothing and went home for a 10-day recess. February, March, April, May, as of now, the Congress has done nothing positive to end our energy dependence. On the contrary, it has taken two negative actions. The first, an attempt to prevent the president from doing anything on his own. The second, to pass a strip mining bill which would reduce domestic coal production instead of increasing it. Put thousands of people out of work, needlessly increase the cost of energy to consumers, raise electric bills for many, and compel us to import more foreign oil, not less. I was forced to veto this anti-energy bill last week because I will not be responsible for taking one step backward on energy when the Congress will not take one step forward on energy. The Congress has concentrated its attention on conservation measures such as a higher gasoline tax. The Congress has done little or nothing to stimulate production of new energy sources here at home. At Elk Hills Naval Petroleum Reserve in California, I saw oil wells waiting to produce 300,000 barrels a day if the Congress would change the law to permit it. There are untold millions of barrels more in our Alaskan petroleum reserves and under the continental shelf. We could save 300,000 barrels a day if only the Congress would allow more electric power plants to substitute American coal for foreign oil. Peaceful atomic power, which we pioneered, is advancing faster abroad than at home. Still, the Congress does nothing about energy. We are today worse off than we were in January. Domestic oil production is going down, down, down. Natural gas production is starting to dwindle, and many areas face severe shortages next winter. Coal production is still at the levels of the 1940s. Foreign oil suppliers are considering another price increase. I could go on and on, but you know the facts. This country needs to regain its independence from foreign sources of energy, and the sooner the better. There is no visible energy shortage now, but we could have one overnight. We do not have an energy crisis, but we may have one next winter. We do have an energy problem, a very grave problem, but one we can still manage and solve if we are successful internationally and can act decisively domestically. 4 months are already lost. The Congress has acted only negatively. I must now do what I can do as president. First, I will impose an additional $1 import fee on foreign crude oil and 60 cents on refined products effective June 1st. I gave the Congress its 60 days plus an extra 30 days to do something, but nothing has been done since January. Higher fees will further discourage the consumption of imported fuel and may generate some constructive action when the Congress comes back. Second, as I directed on April 30th, the Federal Energy Administration has completed public hearings on decontrol of old domestic oil. I will submit a decontrol plan to Congress shortly after it reconvenes. Along with it, I will urge the Congress to pass a windfall profits tax with a plowback provision. These two measures would prevent unfair gains by oil companies from decontrolled prices, furnish a substantial incentive to increase domestic energy production, and encourage conservation. When I talk about energy, I'm talking about jobs. Our American economy runs on energy. No energy, no jobs. In the long run, it's just that simple. The sudden fourfold increase in foreign oil prices and the 1973 embargo helped to throw us into this recession. We're on our way out of this recession. Another oil embargo could throw us back. We cannot continue to depend on the price and supply whims of others. The Congress cannot drift, dawdle, and debate forever with America's future. I need your help to energize this Congress into comprehensive action. I will continue to press for my January program, which is still the only total energy program there is. I cannot sit here idly while nothing is done. We must get on with the job right now. Thank you and good night.
So, in summary, the president spoke for about 14 minutes and, as expected, said he would impose another $1 a barrel tariff on imported oil starting June 1st, the idea being to further discourage consumption of imported oil. Along with that, Mr. Ford said he will take the first administrative steps toward lifting price controls on some oil that is produced domestically. He did not give details, but it's understood that the administration wants to lift those controls gradually over a two-year period. Mr. Ford says he will urge Congress to pass a windfall profits tax along with that decontrol so that the oil companies will not be able to pocket the new profits, but will be forced to plow them back into exploration for new oil. As expected, Mr. Ford coupled his announcements with a very sharp attack on Congress for not coming up with an energy plan of its own. In keeping with its policy of presenting spokesmen of significant opposing viewpoints, CBS has invited two congressional spokesmen to present their views as part of this broadcast. First to speak is Congressman Al Ullman, the chairman of the Tax Writing House Ways and Means Committee. Chairman Ullman.
Most members of Congress would agree with the president that there is an energy crisis. And I think most members of Congress would agree that we must take decisive action in order to face up to that crisis. But in a sense, the president in his program is looking for easy answers. The core of his program is to put a $2 a barrel hidden tax on all oil. Now, someone has to pay for this, and over a period of years, by 1985 or whenever it's fully implemented, this would mean 10 cents a gallon on all fuels from petroleum that you use. If you use heating oil, it would go on that. If you're a trucker and use diesel, it would go on that. If you use petroleum and home heating, it would go on that. So the American consumer would have to pay it. Now, if that is all there is to an energy program, I think the OPEC nations could do it better than we. They've already said that they're going to increase the price of oil by this fall and by as much as $1 or $2. It's more than $11 now. The president's action makes it 12. The OPEC nations said already that they will put on maybe 13 and $14. Where is this going to lead? It's not an energy program, but the disastrous effects of, that it will have on inflation is something that every American should be concerned about. It will put a major new bulge of inflation in the economy at the wrong time, and the disastrous results that it could well have on the recession Americans should be cognizant of, because the president talks about jobs. Well, you're not going to add any jobs by raising the price of oil to all Americans. Now, Congress has worked and deliberated and developed legislation to meet the challenge. The Ways and Means Committee, during those months of February and March and April, met long hours every day. This is a most complex subject. We developed a responsible energy program. Only we didn't look for easy answers. We looked for real answers, and the real answers are all hard answers. We started with the problem of imports, and you can't have an energy program unless you do find some method of cutting back on imports. We would establish a system of quotas so that we can regulate the amount of oil that comes into the country. We do it through an auction system that would accommodate the free market. And then we move to the other part of the program, and that is major conservation effort. And here we're not talking about just price increases. We're talking about doing something about incentives for home insulation, for solar heat. We're talking about industrial use of petroleum products, putting phasing in an excise tax so that they will get out of petroleum into coal and nuclear. We're talking about major tax incentives to stimulate the conversion, to stimulate development of new energy sources. We're talking about a 3 cent gallon tax on gasoline, which is a bare minimum that you would put into a trust fund that would be used to develop alternative sources of energy, which is terribly important as an ingredient in this package. And we talk about automobile efficiency, because unless we develop more efficient automobiles in this country, we don't have an energy program. And so we put a tax on inefficient automobiles. We don't go beyond the 3 cents on gasoline, but we establish a goal for 1976, and we say if America meets that goal, there will be no additional tax. If it doesn't meet the goal, you'll phase in a tax, but to the extent that any additional tax might be levied, we will give 85% of it back to the American citizens as a rebate. And now this is a comprehensive overall energy policy and a new direction for America in energy use. Now, every American has a stake in the outcome. This is an invisible crisis. If we had another boycott, then every American would know overnight that there was a problem. But it's coming. And if we don't face up to it, the crisis will be real. The president has looked to the easy way out. Raising price is not the answer to America, not when we have the threat of inflation and not during a recession. Congress has a program. We have developed it. We will bring our bill to the floor within 2 weeks. I have adopted an open procedure whereby we can amend it and clarify it on the floor. It's a good bill. This is not the time for partisanship. America must get together. The President and Congress must get together and develop an energy policy. Let's get on with the job.
Thank you, Congressman. Next, to offer his opposing point of view is Senator Dale Bumpers of Arkansas, who is a member of the Senate's Ad Hoc Committee on Economic and Energy Policy. Senator Bumpers.
Thank you, Bob. What I want to say is essentially an echo of what Chairman Ullman has already said. I personally think that the President's proposals are ill-conceived, they are quick, they're simplistic, but they're patently unfair. The two biggest problems in the country right now are inflation and unemployment. I happen to believe that the President's proposals will have the very opposite effect to those he propounded tonight. I believe that his proposals will exacerbate both inflation and unemployment. The President didn't mention figures tonight, but I scribbled off some figures during the course of his presentation and some figures that were given to us during the ad hoc committee deliberations. First of all, he's proposing to decontrol old oil. That would cost $12.7 billion. Then he proposes to put a $3 fee on all imported oil. That'll cost $8.7 billion. Coal and unregulated gas are naturally going to float up to reach a similar price level, and that'll cost $5.8 billion. Those figures I've just mentioned to you mean that the American taxpayer is going to have to pay for increased energy alone $27.2 billion. But that's not the whole story. You add the cost of transportation, add the cost of the clothing you wear, which most of which are byproducts of petroleum, add the cost of food that the farmer's going to have to pay more to produce, the cost of transporting the food, the cost of processing it. When you consider all of the increased costs of virtually everything every American citizen purchases, the cost will run somewhere between $40 and $52 billion a year, or over $600 for every family in this nation of four persons. I'm not here to defend the Congress, and I'm not here to condemn the President. But the Congress has done some things. First of all, it enacted a proposal, overwhelmingly in both houses, to prohibit the President doing precisely what he said tonight he wanted to do. This was passed by 535 men and women who are duly elected by the American people. And yet the President chose to veto that proposal so that he could go ahead and put the $3 input fee on. Secondly, the Congress, after a great deal of deliberation, passed a strip mining bill. I thought the strip mining bill was not perfect, but it did achieve a balance between the desire and the necessity for producing more coal in this country and the environmental concerns which we're going to have to take into consideration in producing that coal. Unlike the President, I not only thought that it would not throw people out of jobs, I thought it was the only way we could produce significantly more coal. As long as there is no strip mining bill on the books of this country, there will be very little additional coal produced. The Congress has under consideration bills to mandate automobile efficiency. It will mandate that Detroit produce automobiles that get a certain mileage. It will mandate that all construction, both public and private, contain certain insulation, and I could go on and on. But going back to the $12.7 billion cost of decontrolling old oil, who pays for that? The American consumer pays it, and it goes into the oil company's pocket. Last year, the oil companies in this country enjoyed the biggest profits unparalleled in the history of the country. And yet, all of this is designed, all of the president's program is designed to create incentive to produce more oil. Last year, at a time when oil companies in this country enjoyed these unparalleled profits, oil production in the country went down 500,000 barrels a day. What happens to gasoline prices alone? If all of the increase the president's proposing is put on gasoline, the cost of gasoline will go up 30 cents a gallon. If it's distributed between gasoline and fuel oil and petrochemical products and all the others, then the price of gasoline and fuel oil would go up approximately 15 cents a gallon. The president's proposal that he gave the Congress in January was indeed overwhelmingly rejected out of hand by the Congress, by those 535 men and women who were, as I say, duly elected. I suppose it's only natural that the president would choose to blame the Congress for not having an energy policy when the one he presented was neither well-conceived, and I didn't think, in the best interest of the country, because it was neither fair nor was it even-handed. The president has admitted that the OPEC nations set the price of oil in this country. In my opinion, if he chooses to raise the import fee by $3, he is in effect saying to the OPEC nations, yes, we can afford to pay more for our fuel. The president's proposals all amount to rationing by price. And I think it is a concept that breaks faith with the American people, especially with the masses of working people in the country, especially with the poor people, especially with the people on fixed incomes. Nothing threatens our society more than the fact that the cost of everything we use is going up faster than wages are going up in this country. I regret that the president persists in recrimination and confrontation politics because I don't think it's in his best interest, I don't think it's in the Congress' best interest, and above all, I don't think it's in the best interest of the American people. Thomas Jefferson once said that a democracy can only survive with the consent of the governed. And I say that as long as the governed of this country feel that they are not being treated fairly and evenly, they're not going to forever give that consent.
Thank you, Senator. For some analysis now of all of these statements on energy, CBS News correspondent Nelson Benton is here with me. Nelson, of course, specializes in energy matters. I must say, Nelson, I didn't find very many surprises in any of the statements tonight.
No surprises. We expected the president to chide the Congress. He did. We expected him to lay on the extra dollar on imports. He did. We pretty much expected him to start action to remove controls on old oil. He did that. The thing that strikes me about all this, Bob, the president and Congressman Ullman and Senator Bumpers, is that neither the administration nor the Congress has much of an appetite, it seems, for shortening supply to save fuels, rationing in a word, which leaves either price or taxes or both. And it seems to me that the Congress and the administration have different ways of going about it.
It does mean that no matter which plan is finally adopted, the president's plan is the only one in effect now, that we're going to be paying more for gas. About how much
we Well, we might. We Senator Bumpers was talking about the long-term effects in congressional terms of billions of dollars. The dollar that goes on June 1st is probably a penny and a half to 2 cents a gallon for you and me who buy gasoline at the pumps. If the administration was able to get its decontrol program through the Congress, and it can do that only if both houses agree. One house can knock down the decontrol. But if he did get that, the administration says that prices of refined products will go up 4% this year. That's about 2.3 cents a gallon on everything. It would go up another 11% next year, another 19% in 1977. Administration guesses that in 1977 it would be roughly $165 per family for energy and related costs, the trickle-down effects that Senator Bumpers was talking about. Democrats in the Library of Congress say it will be more like $250. In any event, Bob, I think whatever Mr. Ullman, Senator Bumpers, and their colleagues do. However the president prevails, we're looking at higher prices.
Well, thank you very much, Nelson. That about wraps it up here. President Ford, as expected, announces he'll increase the tariff on imported oil. For Nelson Benton, this is Bob Cheever, CBS News. Good night.